everybody. So glad you've joined us this weekend, and been an amazing weekend already across our locations, Hokesson, and all of you joining us online right now. We're glad you're here, and for all of you ramping up to be a part of our Middletown location as well, whether you're online or maybe at one of our physical rooms, and you're counting down the days until this fall when Middletown comes. I'm excited for you. We had a meet and greet in Middletown this past week. 285 people showed up, everybody. So it's amazing. And as you heard, this weekend is a party. It is baptism weekend, and people have been taking this step all weekend long to go public with their faith. We'll celebrate that together in a few minutes. And for all of you signed up in advance, in just a few minutes, you'll get to experience that moment of baptism. And if you didn't sign up in advance, you have that opportunity as well. We have everything you need to take this step, and it's going to be a very, very meaningful time. And we've been in this series called Good Grief that will wrap up next weekend. And if you're joining us for the first time, here's the big idea: that whatever our age, whatever our story, our background, our beliefs about God, all of us face hard things in life. We go through hard seasons. And when life hurts, it's really easy to lose sight of everything else, right? Including our hope, our optimism. I know that I've faced that many times. When you're grieving, when you're dealing with something difficult, it can feel like it's going to knock you out of the game. Like what you're going through is going to be the end of you. And I've been there. It's amazing to me. I've been through some stuff in my life. I get through it, get on the other side, go through something else hard, and forget how I came through the first one. I think this is going to be the end of me. Am I ever going to get through this? Am I ever going to feel better? Am I ever going to recover from this? So when a relationship isn't going the way we want, or life at school or on the job isn't what we thought, or our health maybe is struggling, or our money is tight, or our minds just aren't right. And sometimes those two go together, in my experience. But when things aren't working out the way we wanted them to or hoped that they would, what do we do? What do we do when our grief seems like more than we can handle? And then a big question in the series is, what does faith have to do with that? Does it really make a difference, faith? Does it really have an impact when we're grieving? And if you're new to all of this, if you're new to the church thing, or even if you aren't maybe, and you've been kind of uncertain about this, let me tell you right out of the gate what faith in Jesus is not. So faith in Jesus is not a way to escape pain. That is not what faith is. A guy named Paul actually writes about this in the New Testament of the Bible. Paul was a guy that God worked through to help frame a lot of what we believe about Jesus and what his death and resurrection really means in our lives. And in the New Testament, Paul writes these words. He says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. So he often referred to what Jesus had done for him, what Jesus has done for all of us who believe in him, as a great light, like the light shone into the darkness of our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. I'll come back to that in a moment, but just kind of picture that. Containing this great treasure, this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Now, what does that mean? Well, for me, first of all, it's a great reminder that even though on the outside, this physical body I have may not seem that big or powerful or impressive. Not sure why you're laughing. That's awkward. But even though this container, this physical body that I'm living in may not seem that impressive on the outside, the moment I found Jesus, which for me was when I was 15, God drew me to him and I began a real relationship with God through faith in Jesus. From that moment on, there was something placed inside of me. I didn't come up with it myself. I didn't figure it out. I wasn't religious or spiritual enough to accomplish it. But there was something placed inside of me, a great treasure now lives on the inside of me, something bigger in me that comes from God. And you may not buy that yet, but for all of us who believe in Jesus, this is what Paul is saying, that the light of who Jesus is broke through the darkness of our lives. And we're still in these fragile clay jars. So for all of us who put our faith in Jesus, we are still in human bodies having human experiences. It's just that now we have this great treasure inside of us, the power and presence of God, and that's the difference faith makes. So people who follow Jesus may look exactly the same on the outside as people who don't. There is there is not always a visible difference between people who are followers of Jesus and people who aren't. We struggle with a lot of the same things. If there's a traffic jam, Christians have to wait in it just like people who aren't Christians. It's not like if you were looking down from space and you saw the traffic, you would say, okay, all the Christians get the fast lane and the non-Christians get... It doesn't work that way. Now, many of us are sitting in traffic asking the Lord to deliver us from the power of the enemy, but that's really the only difference that's going on in traffic. Doesn't matter if you're a follower of Jesus or not. Still go through many of the same things. In fact, sometimes in traffic, what's happening for a follower of Jesus is God is trying to make us more like Jesus. We're not always receptive to this, but it's what's happening. So we go through many of the same things. We struggle with the same things. We grieve. Followers of Jesus grieve. We are not impervious to struggle and disappointment and doubt. We fail. We get things wrong. We make mistakes. We go through difficult seasons. We get cancer. We suffer from depression. We are fragile clay jars. We have these fragile clay jars, but we have a treasure, a great treasure contained within us. And for some of us who are thinking, oh, you mean really good Christians have a great treasure? No, I mean all of us who have believed in Jesus and surrendered our lives to Jesus have this great treasure inside of us now. There's something more to us than just the fragile clay jar. There's something powerful inside of us. But for many of us, we may hear that and say, well, that sounds good, but what's the point? What's the point of faith if you still have to go through some of the same things after you have faith that you did before you had faith? What's the point of this great treasure if you still experience grief, if we still experience hard things? And for many of us, this is a really difficult problem, a difficult question for us. Like, why am I still going through some of the same painful experiences even though I have faith that I did before I had faith? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here's the difference. Now that we have faith in God, we are still pressed on every side by troubles. That has not changed, but we are not crushed. We are still perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. So for all of us who have this faith in God, we have this great treasure inside of us, and something has changed. It's just not obvious from the outside. So there's a lot there. Paul gets very specific about what he and his friends are going through. And when he writes this, by the way, this is not just philosophical. He was going through these things. You look at his life, he went through a lot of grief, a lot of pain, a lot of struggle. But he writes all of this, and I'm sure most of us can find ourselves somewhere in there, in that list. How many of us have felt pressed on every side at any point recently? Just pressed on every side. So our anxiety is pressing in on us. Stress is pressing in on us. Our schedule is pressing in on us. Grief is pressing in on us. But for all of us who have this great treasure, we are not crushed. We're perplexed, we're confused, we're discouraged, we're in a fog because we have all these unmet expectations and disappointment perhaps in the way things are turning out or not turning out, but we are not driven to despair. We're hunted down by that bully at school, by a regret from our past, by people who are tearing us down, who seem to be out to get us. We're hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. Why? Because of what is inside of us. What makes us different is not the container, it's the contents. We have a great treasure inside of us. There's a power of God inside of us. You can't see it from the outside. People who believe in Jesus don't look any different than people who don't. We just have a great treasure inside of us. And I love that last one. Paul says, we get knocked down. How many of us have felt knocked down by life? How many of us have felt knocked down by life? Me too. So I brought a friend today to kind of help me illustrate this. I'm going to invite him to join me on stage. And just want everybody to meet my friend. This is Bozo. This is not Bozo. This is an amazing part of our JT, but this is Bozo. Thank you. Bozo, you good? Good. So when I was a kid, I had one of these. It's called a bop bag. How many 80s kids remember remember this. Where are my 80s people? Greatest generation ever. I'm just saying. We're just like... How many 90s kids got passed down one of these from your older siblings? It's a little beat up, but you got one. How many 2000s kids, our parents thought it'd be cool to go retro, so you know what this is. Yeah. So this is what we had when I was a kid. I love these things. I know it's low tech, but it's what we had, people, okay? We had these bop bags. I love them. Now, Bozo's just like any other inflatable clown, except for one thing. He's very easy to knock down, but he has this one thing that makes all the difference. Bozo has a secret contained inside of him. It's not visible to the naked eye. You can't see it. But there's something contained within him. It's not obvious, but it's a game changer. It doesn't save Bozo from the pressures of this life. It just has a dramatic impact on the way he responds to them. So because Bozo has this treasure hidden inside of him, you can bop him, and he will bop right back. I don't know why I brought both fists up. I was kind of feeling like, come on, Bozo. Come on, man. You know, he's been working all weekend. He might come back at me. So here's the deal. Whether we have faith or not, so some of us are saying, man, I have faith in God. Maybe some of us, though, today that are saying, I don't have any faith in God. I don't even believe in God. I came for the coffee, or I came just to kind of, in my mind, just get somebody off my back, stop inviting me. I don't believe. It's okay. I'm not here to twist your arm. And you and I are exactly alike in every respect except one. Is it really only one thing that's different? And whether we have faith or not, here's the reality of being human. And I want to apologize on behalf of any of you who have heard this message from Christianity. Put your faith in Jesus and everything in your life will be so awesome. Just meet somebody who's been following Jesus for 40 years and ask them, is that the way that goes down? Okay? We're the same. Human beings, we're the same. All get knocked down. It's just life being a human person. Life happens to us. Setbacks set us back. Addiction tries to take us out. Pain punches us. Just part of being a human. But for all of us who believe in Jesus, we bop back. That's the difference. And you say, well, I bop back too. I don't believe in Jesus, but I bop back. We always bop back at least one more time than we're knocked down. And you say, well, that sounds a little bit pompous, like you're bragging about it. Oh, I am bragging about it. Absolutely. 100%. Because I didn't do it. I didn't give myself this great treasure. You have to understand, I was not like spiritual enough to earn this. I was so unspiritual, God knew he needed to save me, okay? I didn't create it. I didn't earn it. But I just had this great treasure in me. So do all of us who believe in Jesus, which means when we grieve, out of faith in God, when we grieve, it's a knockdown, not a knockout. Same pain, same hurt, same suffering, same questions, but there's a great treasure inside of us because we know God. In fact, it doesn't even end there. Now we know that through suffering, our bodies, our fragile clay jars, continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. So if you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus yet, you probably don't find this verse very attractive. Through suffering. Who wants suffering? Nobody wants suffering. So if you want suffering, that's not right. It's not good to want suffering. Even Jesus, the night before he went to the cross, in a moment of great pain in his humanity, prayed that suffering would leave him, that he wouldn't have to suffer. He didn't want to have to go through it, but he wanted what God wanted more. So it's not okay to want suffering. We don't desire it. People who don't believe don't desire suffering. People who do believe don't desire suffering. It's just that people who believe in Jesus, when we suffer, get to share in the death and the life of the one we believe in. We enter into a partnership with him. And as we suffer through this life, facing many of the same pains and griefs that people who don't believe face, We have this great treasure inside of us. Through the death of Jesus and the life of Jesus, we have a great power living inside of us with the power and presence of God. Not so we can escape pain, but so we can always be confident that pain will not have the last word in our lives. And so that the pain we face can over time be transformed into purpose. See, suffering is inevitable if you're going to be a human, and you are. Suffering is inevitable. Finding purpose in it is optional. And so for all of us who have this great treasure, we can find purpose even in our pain. I love the way someone on our J team said this about their search for God. They said, at my very core, I felt the need to know Jesus personally, to know his true power, and he met that need. I keep doing good works and acts of service now, even when I'm faced with oppression. I live victoriously in the power of God. And then listen to this last sentence. Troubles may come, but they will always find Jesus in me. Wouldn't it be cool if when your troubles showed up, you had an unexpected guest over that they were intimidated by? Pain is not intimidated by me, but it is scared to death of the one who lives inside of me. And when trouble comes, it will always find Jesus in me. Yeah, what does that mean? It means when we grieve, it's a knockdown, not a knockout. When we know Jesus, we go through many of the same things, but with a different perspective and ultimately a different outcome, so we can face grief and begin to find the good in it. The grief isn't good. The pain isn't good. The trauma isn't good. But through faith, we begin to see God using the things he didn't cause and hates to see us suffer through, but using them for our good. And then through our fragile clay jar lives, the rest of the world sees the death and life of Jesus in us. When does that happen? When we suffer what everybody else suffers, but don't grieve quite like everybody else grieves. There's just something different on the inside. Our elevator only goes to the bottom floor. There's a place where our grief meets the promises of our God. And we're secure. And that is why we never give up. Man, Christians can be persistent. Have you noticed? They're just relentless. Going through hell in my life, but I know heaven's coming. What is with, and I get it. If we don't have faith, that is misplaced optimism. But there's something about all of us who know Jesus that's why we never give up. Why? Because though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. So my mom is my hero. She's 84. She's a widow. My dad passed away 23 years ago. Still miss him a bunch. And she has now lived without my dad for 23 years. She lives in a one-bedroom apartment alone in Canada. And she watches me preach every weekend. She always comments, great message, son. Because she's my mom. Even when it's not a great message, she like knocked it out of the park. Funniest jokes ever. Because she's my mom. So she's not wealthy. I send her money, and half the time she gives it away. It's the way she is. She's been through some stuff in her life. But my mom knows Jesus. She knows Jesus. And I don't know exactly how to explain this, but it's as if every day my mom gets a little bit older and a little bit younger at the same time. And if she were here, she would tell you, the clay jar is starting to wear. It takes her a little longer to get around. Although, you better watch out. Sometimes she'll dart. But it takes her a little bit longer to get up the stairs. She can't do everything she used to do. 84. I hope she has a lot of years left, but my mom, if she were here, would tell you she knows that she's entering this different season. And yet her spirit is being renewed every day. It's almost as if the more the clay jar wears out, the clearer you see the treasure. Because on the inside of her, there's a great treasure. Because she knows Jesus. And you can have that kind of life with Jesus. But what does that have to do with baptism? Well, baptism is actually how we physically act this truth out, this promise out. It's a public declaration that because we've trusted our lives to Jesus, we have a great treasure inside of us now. We have a great power living in us, comes from God, not ourselves. Baptism is not about us saying, I'm great. It's about us saying, Jesus is great. And baptism is this very simple step of publicly declaring what is now true personally for us. So when you get baptized, for all of you who get baptized today, your clay jar will just get wet. And just for a second, there's nothing magical about the water. We didn't import it from somewhere. It's just ordinary, very clean water, okay? What makes the water holy is what happens in it as you go public with your faith. It's just water. The person baptizing you is not a magic person, and they're not going to speak magic words over you. They're going to speak powerful words of faith in Jesus over you, but they're not magic words. Your clay jar will just get wet. You will look exactly the same physically when you come up out of the water as you did when you went in, except just wetter. That'll be the only difference on the outside. But on the inside, all things new. You'll be publicly declaring, you have this great treasure inside of you. And from that moment on, baptism reminds you that your present troubles are small and won't last very long. In other words, before we had Jesus, our problems loomed large, but then when Jesus came into the picture, he looms larger than our problems, and they shrink down to their appropriate size, and they don't last very long. You say, but I've been going through this thing for 30 years. Yeah, that's actually not very long when you believe that you have a treasure inside of you that will live forever. So they're small, won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So God's working through them to do something inside of us. So now we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So when troubles come, for all of us who know Jesus, we have somewhere else to look except or rather than the troubles that we had spent our lives staring at. So if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have faith, when troubles come, it's like, oh, there are the troubles. That's the biggest deal in my life. But for all of us who have this great treasure inside of us, when troubles come, we have somewhere else to look now. And baptism reminds us of that. So now, when hurt enters our lives, baptism reminds us to look at our relationship with God for hope. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens were open. The Holy Spirit came down, and the voice of the Father spoke over the man Jesus, over his human person, and spoke acceptance, identity, and encouragement into him. This is my son that I love, and I'm well pleased with him. Did you know God wants to do exactly the same thing for you in the moment of baptism? He wants to speak identity, acceptance, and encouragement into your life. Baptism says you are not who the world says you are. You are not what your past pain says you are. You are not even what you think you are in your moments of confusion and despair. You are exactly who God says you are. That's what baptism reminds us. Baptism says, I'm a child of God. And not only are we baptized into Christ and into this new relationship with God, but we're also baptized into community with other people who've been baptized. We become a part of a family. If you're going to be it's not child of God, it's children of God. So now baptism reminds us to look to others to strengthen us. So when Jesus was baptized, the Father spoke that truth over him. First thing he did was go out and find some friends to do life with. It was the first J group. Literally a Jesus group. Went and found a few friends, disciples, did life with him because he wanted to model for us. Baptism is closeness with God. Baptism is also community with others. And then baptism reminds us that when trouble comes, instead of looking at the troubles, we can look at our purpose and the way we can make a difference in the world. So after Jesus was baptized and he found a few friends to do life with, he started his public ministry of serving others, because baptism reminds us we have a purpose greater than our pain. Baptism helps you fix your gaze on the treasure God has put inside of you instead of the trauma life has dumped on you. Baptism helps you fix your gaze on the hope you have that will last, not the hurt that God will one day heal. Baptism helps you fix your gaze on the power of God, not the pain of your season. In baptism, you bury your old life and you rise, all things new, with your eyes on Jesus. And from that moment on, when you grieve, it's a knockdown, not a knockout. So back to Bozo. Why doesn't he fall over and just stay down? What makes him different from any other inflatable clown? He's the same as us. In fact, how many of us have felt a little like an inflatable clown lately in life? Just be honest. How many of us, your past, people look at it and go, oh, Bozo. It's okay if you didn't raise your hand. You'll get comfortable here after a few weeks. If my wife were here, she would say, yeah, sometimes that guy up there, he's kind of like an inflatable clown. That's what makes him different? What makes him different from us? Just one thing. It's just one thing, and you can't even see it. It's hidden. It's invisible. It's physics. There's a weight at the bottom of Bozo's life, a foundation, if you will. It's a weight. You can't see it. It's contained within him. And the weight is greater than the structure it supports, and greater than the pressures that come. So because Bozo has built his life on a solid foundation and has this great treasure within him, when anxiety comes, it's a knockdown, not a knockout. When it's cancer, it's a knockdown, not a knockout. When addiction tries to take him out, it's a knockdown, not a knockout. When he loses somebody he loves and his heart is broken, it's a knockdown, not a knockout. There's a foundation to his life, and he will always bounce back. The treasure hidden inside of him. What difference does faith make? It makes all the difference. Can't always see it, but it makes all the difference. But not just now in this life. Faith will one day make all the difference forever, because the day will come when all of us will get knocked down by the ultimate uppercut called death. Did you know the death rate for humans is rapidly approaching 100%? You say, you're so morbid. How can you say that? It doesn't matter how technologically advanced we get. It doesn't matter how far medicine goes. Eventually, however long it takes, all of us will face the ultimate uppercut of death. And if you don't have a great treasure inside, your fragile clay jar will just break. And you'll find yourself without God and hope. But if you know Jesus, and you have this great treasure inside, when death comes, you'll bounce right back to be with Jesus forever. You have a treasure inside of you. And baptism is this public declaration that we believe that promise. So if you haven't said yes to following Jesus yet, I'm going to lead us in prayer in just a moment. And that's your opportunity. If you want to begin a real relationship with God. And if you're not ready yet, it's okay. But if you are, if God's been drawing you to him and you want to start following Jesus today, you can in just a moment. I'll lead you in a very simple prayer to take that step. And then whether you put your faith in Jesus today or yesterday or 2 weeks ago or 6 months ago or 5 years ago or 35 years ago, but you haven't gone public with your faith in baptism, today's your day. Don't wait. All things new. And then for all of us who have been baptized after putting our faith in Jesus, and we had that moment, that real moment when we made it clear we're with Jesus, he's with us, as we celebrate with other people being baptized, it's a reminder, whatever we're going through right now, listen, it's a knockdown. It's not a knockout. You're gonna bounce back. I don't know how long it will take. I don't know what will be involved, but you can't stay down. There's a great power inside of you that insists you get back up. Let baptism remind you of that today. So I'm going to lead us in prayer. I want everyone just to open your heart up big to God with me in the room, online right now, and just block out every distraction. And if that's you today, if you want to begin a real relationship with God, right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. You can use my words if it helps you. Jesus, today I believe in you. I leave behind the life I've lived without you. I need the great treasure that only you can give me. I need my life transformed from the inside out. I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you rose again. I'm going to follow you. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm starting a relationship with God today for real, for me, would you shoot your hand up? Just hold it up high, all over the room, kind of hold it up high, boldly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, it's amazing. Awesome. Thank God.